Welcome to A Beggar Who Found Bread. I'm the host of this podcast, and yes, I am a beggar. I found the living bread that satisfies the true hunger of mankind, the bread of life, the Messiah, Yeshua of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ. I hope to reveal this bread to others that they would come to the fullness of understanding in Him. This episode, Shadow Moses. Credit Bring Me the Horizon for the title to this episode. Stylistically, Bring Me the Horizon can't be put in one box. They have influences of rock, metal, post-hardcore, punk, emo, and more. I'm not super familiar with the band. They were established in 2004, British rockers who met in college. The band name, as you may have suspected, comes from the final line in the movie Pirates of the Caribbean when Captain Jack Sparrow says, "Now bring me the horizon." Which I long suspected that's where it came from, but I did confirm it. One thing I respect about Bring Me the Horizon is when they released their single Drown, it immediately went to number one on the charts, unseating Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift. Take that, Swifties. All right. It's not about the music or the movies. It's about the message, Shadow Moses. In the past few episodes, we've been exploring what it means for present-day people to follow the Master, Yeshua the Messiah. We're incorporating some of the accounts recorded in the book of Acts to bring understanding as to how the earliest Yeshua followers lived their faith, and we're seeking present-day application of those practices. As for context for the book of Acts, please refer back to the I Don't Want to Die episode if you haven't already listened to that one. We do unpack the history and background of what could actually be dubbed the Gospel of Luke 2, the book of Acts written by Luke. And so we do some breaking down to help bring full context of that book as we'll be referring to it going through this series and study. As we begin today, I'd like to take a look first at a portion of the first chapter of the book of John. John 1, beginning at verse 35. Again, the next day, John was sitting with two of his disciples and watched Yeshua walking by. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Yeshua. Yeshua turned around and saw them following. He said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Come and see," Yeshua tells them. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who had heard John speak and followed Yeshua. First, he finds his own brother Simon and tells him, "We have found the Messiah." Andrew brought Simon to Yeshua. Yeshua looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Kepha," which is translated Peter. The next day, Yeshua decided to go to the Galilee. He finds Philip and says to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the same town as Andrew and Peter. Philip finds Nathanael and tells him, "We've found the one that Moses in the Torah and also the prophets wrote about, Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth," Nathanael answered, "can anything good come from there?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Yeshua saw Nathanael coming toward him. He said, "Look, a true Israelite. There's nothing false in him." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Yeshua answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were sitting under the fig tree, I saw you." "Rabbi," Nathanael answered, "you are Ben Elohim. You are the King of Israel." Because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? Yeshua replied to him. You will see greater things than that. You will see greater things than that. And he said, Amen, amen. I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God going up and coming down on the Son of Man. In this account, we see the gathering of the earliest disciples, the initial followers of Yeshua. We see Andrew, who was a disciple of John the Baptist, who, once John revealed the promised Messiah to him, immediately took after Yeshua. Andrew did. The master asked him and another who began following him what they were seeking. And I think it's interesting that they didn't respond to that question, what are you seeking, with, we're seeking knowledge, we're seeking wisdom, we're seeking direction, or even we're seeking eternal life. That wasn't their answer. Their answer was a question. They asked where he was staying. Where are you staying? They asked Yeshua. They wanted to see how he lived. They wanted to get to know him, the Messiah. And this should be at the core of our faith, the simple desire to know the Master, and through knowing him, coming to the full knowledge of the Father. Everything else falls into place. All those things, knowledge, wisdom, eternal life, all the other things fall into place when we simply seek to know him. Drawing near to know the Master, that we can, through him, know Hashem. John, who was in the line of the Levitical priesthood, John the Baptist, he prepared his disciples by teaching them from the Torah, the prophets, and the writings, whom they should expect to fill the role of Messiah, preparing them for the coming Messiah. He called his disciples to repentance in preparation for the soon coming kingdom. When Messiah was identified as Yeshua of Nazareth, John stepped more into the background. He, Yeshua, must increase. I must decrease. Stepping back, if you will, because Messiah had arrived, the one that he was preparing people for. When we look at the exchange between Philip and Nathanael, we read, Philip finds Nathanael and tells him, we've found the one that Moses in the Torah and also the prophets wrote about, Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So these followers, people who were Jewish, have been expecting the promised Messiah, the anointed one of Scripture, for generations, thousands of years, and now they are hearing he has arrived. Mind you, there were many before and those who would follow after who laid claim to the title of Messiah. So there would have been some skepticism from some folks. Natural. Yeshua has fulfilled over 300 biblical prophecies, which were spoken and written by different people over the course of thousands of years. Statisticians have calculated that for one person to fulfill 8 of the biblical prophecies, not 300, just 8, the odds of one person fulfilling 8 of those prophecies is 10 to the 17th power to 1. That's a 10 with 17 zeros following it to 1, that one person could fulfill 8 of those prophecies. That puts Yeshua alone in the conversation. Had he fulfilled 8 of the prophecies, he has fulfilled over 300. To quote Bill Murray from Osmosis Jones, you like math, crunch the numbers on that. The evidence of Yeshua being the promised Messiah is beyond overwhelming. It's an avalanche. It's an ocean of evidence. To my point, the early Jewish believers had a depth of knowledge and understanding of whom they were expecting. Yeshua is the crowning jewel of Judaism, the fulfilling of the long-anticipated promised Messiah. A startling and consuming revelation when we consider how long people waited, the generations and generations, passing down both written and much oral traditions and understandings of the coming promised Messiah. And when I say that Yeshua is the crowning jewel of Judaism, I want you to know that, yes, I understand he is even more than that, as he is the source of salvation to all. As Paul said, to the Jew first, and then the Gentile. I get the full picture of this. The reason I'm discussing this is that for Gentile followers, most of us, certainly present day Gentile followers of Yeshua, know little to nothing of the promised expected Messiah. The Christian faith is often cynically called the white man's religion. This is due to a wholesale whitewashing of the faith. Time would fail us to go through the history of all of that. We have forgotten the origins of it all. We are taught basically to ignore the roots, or occasionally they're referred to as a footnote in a sermon. When we look at how Yeshua preached, how Peter preached in the book of Acts, how Stephen preached, and how Paul preached, they always went to the roots first to make their case. As more and more Gentiles began following Yeshua, people who did not have the depth of the historical understanding, extra time was taken to ensure they grasped the faith they were expressing an interest in. They had to understand what they were getting themselves into. This is why documents like the Didache were drafted, and the Apostles' Constitution, and Justin Martyr's Apology, to give Gentile believers a crash course of sorts in obtaining the knowledge of who Yeshua is and the ramifications of declaring oneself a follower of his. We looked at portions of the Didache, the full title being The Instructions of the 12 Apostles to the Nations, or Gentiles. And we broke some of that down in the Follow the Leader episode, which I encourage you to check out when you get time. We are currently so far removed from this understanding in the Western Church that Yeshua, Jesus, is frequently presented as the quick fix remedy to keep you out of hell. Well, who doesn't want that? I'll raise my hand for that. Thanks, preacher. He's offered as though God just feels really sorry for you because he made the rules too hard and doesn't want to hurt you, or doesn't want you to hurt anymore. And so, you know, please just come back. Everything will be okay. It's almost like God is being apologetic to mankind. And that is a serious problem. We miss the undeniable need for repentance and atonement, which are foundational in the Jewish faith. We also, for some reason, are so attached to the statement that Jesus wasn't just a good teacher that we forget the fact that he is the great teacher. And his teachings in modern times are typically only used to support a predetermined doctrinal stance. They're taken out of context, specific sayings of his or something, to just reinforce a doctrine that is not supported by the whole of Scripture. read his teachings. We did early in the beginning of the fifth season, we went through many of Yeshua's teachings. When you read them, you will discover he is quite different than many present him today. Without a Jewish understanding, we do a great disservice to this decidedly Jewish faith. It began as a sect of Judaism, followers of the way. And then at one point, someone coined the phrase Christians. And so a lot clung to that name, the Christian faith. If you study the whole thing out, they were actually called Christians in a mocking way. But we'll save that for another time. Maybe, maybe never. Anyway, moving forward. Followers of Yeshua was a sect of Judaism. Yeshua is the prophet revealed in the Torah who would be like and come after Moses, the one whom we are to hear and obey. The branch of a tree cannot look at the roots and say, "I don't need you anymore. I'm producing fruit just fine without you." The limb that rejects the roots falls off and does not produce the good fruit of the tree. No roots, no fruit. In Acts, it is recorded that the initial followers, many of whom were eyewitnesses to the works, miracles, and had firsthand exposure to the teachings of Yeshua, and some of whom saw the crucifixion, burial, and then resurrected Messiah. These followers obeyed the direction of the Master to remain in Jerusalem as the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, was coming. At least 120 followers of Yeshua, disciples, gathered in an upper room to select a new 12th apostle to fulfill the position vacated by Judas Iscariot. Days later, at the temple on Shavuot, Pentecost, the promised Comforter, the Ruach, the Spirit of Elohim, was poured out. So let's read from Acts chapter 2. We'll start at verse 1. When the day of Shavuot had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And tongues like fire spreading out appeared to them and settled on each one of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to speak in other tongues as the Ruach enabled them to speak out. Now, Jewish people were staying in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound came, the crowd gathered. They were bewildered because each was hearing them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "All these who are speaking, aren't they Galileans? How is it that we each hear our own birth language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and those living in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya towards Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jewish people and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring in our own tongues the mighty deeds of God." And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to each other, "What does this mean?" Others, poking fun, were saying, "They are full of sweet new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Judeans, and all who are staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and pay attention to my words. These men are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken about through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Ruach on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my slaves, male and female, I will pour out my ruach in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will give wonders in the sky above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and smoky vapor. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of Adonai comes. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Adonai shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words, Yeshua HaNatzarati, a man authenticated to you by God with mighty deeds and wonders and signs God performed through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Yeshua, given over by God's predetermined plan and foreknowledge, nailed to the cross by the hand of lawless men, you killed. But God raised him up, releasing him from the pains of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says about him, I saw Adonai always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I might not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can confidently tell you that the patriarch David died and was buried. His tomb is with us to this day. So because he was a prophet and knew God had sworn with an oath to him to seat one of his descendants on his throne, David saw beforehand and spoke of Messiah's resurrection, that he was not abandoned to Sheol and his body did not see decay. This Yeshua God raised up. We all are witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and receiving from the Father the promise of the Ruach HaKodesh, he poured out this, what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, yet he himself says, Adonai said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, this Yeshua, whom you had crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the emissaries, Fellow brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, Repent. And let each of you be immersed in the name of Messiah Yeshua for the removal of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far away, as many as Adonai our God calls to himself. With many other words, he warned them and kept urging them, saying, Save yourselves from this twisted generation. So those who received his message were immersed, and that day about 3,000 souls were added. They were devoting themselves to the teaching of the emissaries and to fellowship and to breaking bread and to prayers. Fear lay upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were happening through the emissaries. And all who believed were gathered together, having everything in common. They began selling their property and possessions and sharing them with all, as any had need. Day by day they continued with one mind, spending time at the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were sharing meals with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day the Lord was adding to their number those being saved. Thanks for going through the entire chapter with me. I was looking for a good jumping off point to break portions of Acts chapter 2 down, and I really didn't feel comfortable doing so. This chapter is chock full of information, not the least of which a conversation about Pentecost, Shavuot, which is a favorite of Adonai's feasts for me. I love Shavuot. There's so many layers and such a richness of depth in Adonai's appointed time, Shavuot. But I'm going to reel myself in and not pursue that at this time. I've done a few episodes on Shavuot and some of the other feasts and our appointed times, Moedim, of Adonai, and Lord willing, I'll do more in the future. As for the focus of our current pursuit, that being the application of following Yeshua, we read Peter's words to this group of Jewish people. As I stated earlier, he uses the Tanakh, the Torah, the prophets, and the writings to illuminate who Yeshua is. I will say one statement that stands out that gets brutalized and is used to accuse Jews of deicide. And it's found in verses 23 through 25. Men of Israel, hear these words, Yeshua HaNatzarati, a man authenticated to you by God with mighty deeds and wonders and signs God performed through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Yeshua, given over by God's predetermined plan and foreknowledge, nailed to the cross by the hand of lawless men, you killed. But God raised him up, releasing him from the pains of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by it. People take those two words, you killed, to be an indictment by Peter that the Jews, all of them, only them, were responsible for the death of Yeshua. And in present times, it's still not uncommon for Christians, and I'm using air quotes on that, they will confront Jewish people and say, you and your people killed Jesus. Like, that's not what Peter's doing here at all. Peter and the other followers that are with him prior to the 3,000 joining them, they're all Jewish. Grow up, folks. Stop trying to justify your anti-Semitism through a decidedly Jewish faith. It's because of sin, the sin of all mankind, that Yeshua died. We just read it was part of the Father's predetermined plan. He had foreknowledge this was going to happen. He himself, Yeshua, stated that he came to lay his life down. Oh, Mr. Genius Theologian, where would we all be apart from the death and resurrection of Yeshua? Riddle me that. Please think it through before opening your gaping, cavernous cake hole, spewing out personal hatred and exposing your own ignorance for the world to see. Okay, that was probably heavy. Let me get back. Even a fool seems wise when he remains silent. Yes, some Jews rejected Yeshua as Messiah. And the reality is, good for us Gentiles that they did. Their rejection of him opened the door for Gentiles to be grafted into the whole of Israel through Yeshua. After Peter preaching, those who were convicted by that message cried out, fellow brethren. Again, Peter and the others were all Jews, thus they called them brethren. Fellow brethren, what shall we do? Now that we know all this, now that we are convicted by this message, we see what you're saying, what shall we do? And Peter made it plain. Repent. And let each of you be immersed in the name of Messiah Yeshua for the removal of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, he's speaking to Jews, and your children, and for all who are far away, as many as Adonai our God calls to himself. all inclusive here, Jews and Gentiles. With many other words, Peter warned them, and he kept urging them, saying, save yourselves from this twisted generation. Peter's call for them to repent means to return. Return to the way of Hashem, the way that they learned through their faith, through the Torah, the writings, and the prophets. Your eyes have been opened to the identity of the Messiah now. Repent and then be baptized into Messiah Yeshua. He then warns them, save yourselves from this twisted generation. We have to live different than those of this twisted generation. If theirs was a twisted generation 2,000 years ago, how much more twisted now? We cannot live like those who are apart, those who are of this world. We cannot live like them and declare ourselves to be set apart, holy, kadosh to Hashem. Save yourselves from this twisted generation. Follow the Master Yeshua the Messiah. After this chapter, chapter 2 in the book of Acts, we begin to see in this book examples of people like us and how they lived. And what I mean when I say that is we see people who were not eyewitnesses to Yeshua's ministry. They did not see the miracles. They didn't hear directly from him the teachings. They didn't witness his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. People who were his followers because of the testimony of the eyewitnesses, those who received a deposit, a measure of the Ruach HaKodesh. Again, these were people who were not witnesses, but they believed the testimony of those who were. They then received the deposit, a measure of the Ruach HaKodesh, the breath, the wind of the Holy One, blessed be He, receiving the earnest of the Holy Spirit. They did so not only being immersed in water, baptized into Yeshua, but being immersed in his teachings and actions, the recounting of the movements, the behaviors of the righteous one, the Tzaddik, Yeshua, who is the literal embodiment of the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. Hallelujah. And so I feel like we're doing a lot of prepping for the nuts and bolts, rubber meets the road application of what it means and how it should look to be a follower of Yeshua. And honestly, initially, I just kind of wanted to jump in and start breaking down from Scripture how we're supposed to live. But it seems good to lay some of this groundwork first to really establish the understanding of whom it is we are following and the context and understanding the foundations of faith in Him. So I appreciate you hanging with me through this, and I pray and trust that these episodes are blessing you as we continue to move forward. Make sure you study to show yourself approved of God. Don't just take my word for things. Don't just take any one man's word for things. Study to show yourself approved of God. There is a lost and dying world in desperate need of the bread of life, Yeshua HaMashiach. Let's go out and give them heaven. Until next time, may the favor, the Master, the Tzaddik, the righteous one, Yeshua of Nazareth, earned in the favor in the Father's eyes, the favor that He earned in the eyes of Hashem. May that be upon you and all of your household. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding reign in your hearts and minds in the Messiah Yeshua. Grace and peace. Chayn Shalom.